We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's OMF on EEI.
Talked about the Bears made a big leap for a quarterback. Patriots were the opposite. They love Mac Jones. This was certainly one of the guys who they were strongly considering taking. They were going to be disciplined enough to not jump for him, let the board come to them. The other thing is, you know, Bill Belichick's obviously one of the older coaches in the NFL. I think he literally never retires. From the sense I get, he's extremely excited about working with a young quarterback, teaching a young quarterback, grooming a young quarterback. He hasn't done it since Tom Brady. I think Bill Belichick will probably coach, oh, I don't know, forever. And Mac Jones is going to be one of the reasons why.
86-year-old Bill Belichick. Going to go out there and coach forever. That's Ian Rappaport. And it brings up an interesting point, though, in that I think every coach is hoping that you strike gold and find a rookie quarterback that you can make your franchise quarterback, because it makes everything so much simpler to try to build a roster. Because you're paying the guy virtually nothing, right? You're paying him 2-3% of your total cap number, as opposed to paying 20% or 25% of your cap.
See, I don't buy the whole Bill Belichick showed great patience and got his guy. I don't buy that.
No,
I don't think that's giving him enough credit. You know, I think he knows exactly what's going on.
You don't think he's lazy?
No, I think he knows exactly what is going on. Remember, we played that Scott Pioli sound the other day talking about Matt Light. And they're about to draft Matt Light. And then, you know, while they were on there, he's like, yeah, I'm talking to the Jets. And he said, hold on. And the Patriots traded ahead of the Jets because they knew the Jets were going to take Matt Light.
Yeah.
So, like, even Mac Jones came out afterwards. Like, the ideal scenario is to go to New England. That's secretly where I always wanted to go. They might have loved him. And between Bill Belichick, Saban, you know, Mac Jones, Josh McDaniels, like, hey, we want you at 15. If you get a call from anybody, you let us know.
Oh,
because a kid wants to go there. I mean, I just don't believe that Bill Belichick really wanted Mac Jones and showed great patience
and sat at 15. Theory.
I think he knows exactly what's going on, whether it's Mac Jones or Nick Saban or whatever. And maybe teams do it without telling him. I don't know. But I think he knew exactly what was going on. And if he had to, he would have moved up to 12 or 11 or 15.
Okay.
14.
All right. Well, then that kind of harkens back to the story Scott Pioli told about the whole Matt Light thing.
Yeah, Matt says, hey, which Scott, is a lot how of fun. You doing? I'm good. You know, have you heard from anybody? He says, well, I'm actually on the phone with the Jets. They're on hold right now.
Yeah, which is great. And maybe that could have been in play last night, because I do give Ben any further draft capital.
Thank you.
To get the McCorkle. Number two, since we're on the radio, I mean, it's his middle name. I know it's a great family name. I just love it. So let's say good old McCorkle's not available at 15.
Yep.
Okay. Let's play radio. A little fun game we bring down from the midday show.
Yes.
What does Bill do at 15 then? What happens? Let's say Mac Jones is not there.
He moves up to grab him.
Does he?
I think so.
Let's say Mac Jones gets grabbed.
Mac Jones calls him back and says, hey, I just got a call from, whatever, Washington. They're going to move up to 13. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. Boom. Move up to 12. Mac Jones.
Okay. So that happens.
I mean, if they don't get, I don't know. I have no clue. If they didn't get this guy, he probably would have traded back.
So you think he would have traded back?
Yeah. I think that there was, a lot of guys that were in that, like 10 to 14 range, and it had a lot to do, I think, because those corners went so early. Like, nobody saw that, did they? Like,
well,
all the mock drafts, have you ever seen J.C. Horn go
Went first.
Eight?
Right.
Like, Surtain was, like, 10, number one corner. Horn might be there. All of a sudden, here goes, boom, Horn's gone. Surtain back to back. And that pushed, Devonta Smith and maybe Fields. I don't know. Parsons, Slater was a guy that everybody thought was going to go in that area.
Right.
So, I think that just sort of messed with everything. But I just believe that he had his ears. He knew everything of what was going on and knew he didn't have to move around and knew, or up.
Well, maybe. And maybe the Saban connection, maybe the kid really wanted to go, even though he could have been number three and made a lot more money. Maybe that's all accurate. On the other hand, to me, when you're looking at Washington and Pittsburgh behind you, Chicago already makes the move. You're down to one quarterback, even if you want that quarterback. If that's your guy, Mac Jones, you're sitting there going, oh, my God, we still have all of these teams in front of us that we have to be concerned with. To me, that is too risky. You can't know what everybody is doing. You've got to make your move. You said it the other day, Lou, if you really want your guy, you move up and you just do it. And he didn't do it. He waited at 15.
Well, let me ask, I want to hear Bill Belichick, because he did ask. Ryan, do you have that one who says, did the teams trading before you affect his planning? I don't know if you see that anywhere in the Bill. I think it's like the third sound
Bill,
we have.
Bill, did the trades and everything that were happening in front of you, how much did you have to pivot and sort of be ready to make different moves throughout because of all the action happening in front of you?
Yeah, well, again, we couldn't really control any of that. So,
really?
I mean, when you're at 15, you're at 15. So somebody's got to be at 14. Somebody's got to be at 13. Oh. So unless you move, it's, you know, there's the same number of teams are going to pick in front of you. So, you know, again, we try to, you know, grade the players, evaluate the players, and take a look at the board and you know, make the best decisions we can. So, would say, look, we weren't in the most flexible position today anyway. So staying at 15 kind of seemed like the best thing for us to do, and that's it worked out fine for us.
And yeah, last week he told us that if a guy was higher up on your board, then you do move up. You do make that move. You
yeah,
do
I
make
just
those
think he's
calls.
Playing like – I don't Maybe. Understand. We've Maybe. They slotted us 15. We had picked 15. Like, yep. We were 15.
15. So somebody's got to be at 14. Yeah. Somebody's got to be at 13.
Yeah. Somebody probably had to be at 12, I'm guessing. And what could we do? We picked 15. I mean, I don't know. We waited until 15 to pick. Like, duh. Like, it's not like simplified it,
it's
right?
Not like elevators in building. You don't skip 13.
It's not that simple, right? No. How about trading up for Mac Jones? You got that one? Because this is the one I don't really believe in.
Bill, there were so many rumors that Mac Jones could be taken as high as 3 to the 49ers. Was he a player that you were expecting might be there for you at 15? And was there any thought of moving up for him at any point during the first round?
Yeah, we don't usually go into the draft with a lot of expectations. And
no,
honestly, I missed a lot of those mock drafts, so I'm not really that familiar with where everybody went and wasn't going. Just try to do the best we can to help our football team. That's what we did today. That's what we've done in the past. And that's what we'll do tomorrow and on Saturday.
Anybody believe any of that?
No.
We don't go into our draft with much expectations.
The most prepared coach in NFL history. We don't go in with many expectations.
I don't pay attention to mock drafts or maybe what other teams might be doing ahead of me.
We don't usually go into the draft with a lot of expectations.
You don't? We did. Of course he does. And, of course, he pays attention to everything. You don't think he knows exactly what every team's probably going to do?
That they're not going to play war games and they don't have 100 different scenarios on the wall or in a computer where it's like it goes, they have all these mocks ready. It says Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and then, okay, so if Mac Jones goes third, this happens, this is who's available. If Trey Lance goes, they have all pre-simulated.
Yeah, but it doesn't always fall that way.
Right,
but I'm not saying they've got like a blow-up of Mel Kiper's first round on, you know, in their draft room going,
Lou, what do you think, Lou?
What's Mel got? Where's Mel got going?
Honestly,
who's Mel got?
I missed a lot of those mock drafts.
But come on. He knows, and I think he knew. Like, I don't think it was like, give Bill credit for being patient. Give Bill credit for being locked in, doing his homework, having communication with people, and maybe privately discussing with Mac Jones, let us know if someone contacts you.
Okay,
we're taking you.
That is a possibility. On the other hand, there's too much risk when you're dealing with teams like Washington and Pittsburgh and people talking about them possibly moving up for quarterback. And he was not willing to do that. So if he had moved up to 12 or 13, I would sit here and say he really, really wanted this guy. And I'm not saying he doesn't want this guy, but at what price? He was not willing to give up additional assets to get this kid. He had a plan B behind Mac Jones. I think it's interesting to see how it's playing out. And so many people are talking about it on Get Up this morning. This is Dominique Foxworth.
It feels like Cam Newton is going to get his spot. And if he's able to bounce back and maybe he needed a year, another year to fully recover from the injuries or to fully recover from contracting the COVID virus, like maybe all that stuff or the separation from the team slowed him down. But it is completely up to Cam Newton. If they start out hot like they did last year and he stays hot, I think Mac stays on the bench. I don't. Mac Jones doesn't have the skill level to, I think, walk into camp and just wow people. And even if Cam is playing well, they're going to be like, all right, we got to sit Cam down because Mac Jones is just so nasty. So I think it's entirely up to how well Cam Newton plays early in the season.
Hunt, are they talking about running the football against Miami and then being able to throw against that Seattle secondary? That was hot.
They ain't never seen this Cam.
Because it went south from that point on, right? I mean, we already agreed that the Vegas game was pretty bad. Even though they won it, it was pretty bad.
First half was bad. First half of the Vegas game was bad. The pick to John Abram was inexcusable because he had the tight end wide open and he stared down the safety and the guy was right there when he threw it to him. But in terms of starting out hot last year, yes, when Wiggy wanted to offer the four-year, $110 million contract. Yeah, I mean, the first two games, Lou, Glenn, both of you, whoever, you know, O&M. It's revisionist history if we're going to say now that we didn't think that the Patriots had got a real one or that they stole one last year and found a diamond in the rough with Cam after the first game when he ran all over Miami and then when he passed his ass off against Seattle.
Seattle was the one. Seattle was the one.
We get fooled.
We said, wow, because he ran it in week one. They threw it in game two. He beat you in a bunch of different ways. And then, like, Seattle gave up, like, 450 yards passing the following week.
It was the worst secondary in the history of the NFL.
Following 4 weeks. Yeah. And we were like, huh. You know, and then that was, what was the third game? Was it Oakland?
Yeah.
And that we were like, wow, they became the Raiders because Cam wasn't very good.
Right.
They just killed themselves.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit.
And they ran, yeah.
But guys, if you look at his passing numbers, it was the two Jets game, awful secondary, and the Seattle game, awful secondary.
Yeah.
So how could anybody look at it and say that he can pass accurately in this league against even average defensive teams?
Not well enough. And I don't care what his completion percentage was. We mentioned this many times, how they dumbed it down. Easy passes, right? And even then, with the so-called no weapons, you know, you just see clips left and right, even this morning, playing about Cam Newton. Just these guys that can't get open that are open, that the ball's not even close to them.
I would like to know which side of the sort of like hyper super analytics we're supposed to land on, because I hear from some of the stat geeks and some of the film people that Cam was much more accurate last year than we, the broadcasters, the super fans, etc. And then I also see people say like, oh, the Patriots finished third in yards of separation and whatever the quantitative stat is for like how open they were. Really? Because I saw a lot of receivers that weren't really that open, or maybe I saw a bad quarterback who didn't throw it to them. I just want to know which is which so we can all get on the same page, or will it really matter because Mac Jones is going to take the job?
The ones that have defended Cam Newton, you know, they just sort of, they look at 65.8 completion percentage and say, guys, he wasn't as bad as you're saying.
Right.
I mean, 65.
Tom Brady 66, had the same completion percentage in 2019. Percentage,
yeah, than Brady, you know, and you're like, well, then you didn't watch the games. I'm tired of people telling me. The games that I watched and what I watched wasn't real. It was real. Like, I know what I saw. I saw a guy every week going, oh my God, how long are they going to do this? And it got worse every week. It wasn't like, you know, it was just all about week four, week five, week six coming out of COVID. You know, he couldn't figure it out by week 14, 15, 16, 17. Like, if that team played five more games, they would have went 1-4. They were getting worse as a team. He was getting worse. It wasn't getting better. And it's not getting better this year.
Yeah, but
Mac Jones, week one. Thank you.
But you know what it was, Lou, and you just said it. We watched every single play. If you're here locally covering the team, watching the team as a fan, you watched every single play. Nationally, we're hearing from guys that still think Cam is a viable quarterback in this league because they saw a few highlights. And yeah, he had a couple of nice runs during the course of the season. He even made a couple of nice throws.
He's an NFL quarterback. He's just not good enough to be a really good one. I mean, you got to throw a couple of good passes, and he did, but it wasn't consistent enough.
Yeah, just because he threw a nice pass in the Jets game to Asiasi for his first touchdown. One of his, by the way, two completions on the season. So that was obviously a steal last year.
Hell of a first year.
Let me ask you this. I know you guys have both watched a couple football games in your day. Lou, maybe a little more baseball than football, but does a good quarterback or a quarterback you should have faith in headed into the season, as much as we all might like Cam the person, does a good quarterback get benched not once, not twice, but thrice in the same season?
No, not usually.
Okay. You sure?
Because of poor performance? No. For a kid that obviously they don't like. Because they just never played him, right? Just did him. So.
I'm not 32.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I was
right,
going to say,
36.
No, that's McCourty. Or did he change his number? Yeah.
I was going to say, especially when you have a backup quarterback that you had no faith in, because if you did, you would have been using him more. All right, we're going to hear from a former NFL quarterback who thinks this might be the best pick in the first round of the draft. We'll get to your phone calls as well. And your reaction, Mac Jones, is the quarterback pick by Bill Belichick.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Ordway, Merlone, Fourier. Back to OMF on EEI.
You coming in as a first-round pick, there'll be a lot of expectations with that. How do you feel you're prepared to handle that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm actually joining a really great quarterback room with Cam Newton. He's played in the NFL for a really long time. He's earned the respect of his teammates, you know, going to New England, being a captain. And then you got Jarrett, who I really love watching at Auburn and kind of used as a role model. So both those guys are role models to me right now, and I'm just going to go behind them and learn how they did it, because – you know, they've seen a lot of good quarterbacks too, like Tom and everybody. So honestly, just kind of play my role and listen to them and take advice and help them however I can, whether it's taking notes or whatever I need to do to help the team win.
Wow. Stidham is his role model. That's Mac Jones. Listen, I think he said all of the right things last night talking about the quarterback room at Cam Newton. He was asked follow-up about it, and he's saying, oh, yeah, I heard he's a great guy and all of this other stuff. And that's what you say publicly. I don't have an issue with that. I just hope he comes in with competitive juices just flying and saying, screw it, I'm going to go win this job. I'm not going to let the personality of Cam Newton in the room, you know, overtake, you know, my ability. I think we saw that with Stidham last year. I think he was overwhelmed by a guy that was well-loved by all of the other players, and he couldn't deal with it, and he lost confidence in his own game.
Yeah, because he's a bit of a beta, whereas Cam Newton is such an alpha male. He's the alpha dog, that giant personality, the big outfits, the fancy hats, everything else he does, the swag, the nicknames. Cam Newton could easily overwhelm somebody who is a little bit of a follower, a little more aw shucks like Stidham. Hence why I believe this offseason, prior to drafting Mac Jones, Stidham has made more of an effort, or at least so Instagram and the social media videos have shown, Lou, that he's trying to get out there and be a bit more of a leader. But Glenn, there's something people don't know about Mac Jones.
Nice. I like
he is a sneaky, competitive mofo.
Yeah, he is.
Tom Brady, famous for making people stay late and play checkers. Patrick Pass told me a story once. They stayed 3 hours after a game until Tom could beat Patrick Pass in a game of electrical tape basketball in the locker room because he lost too much money.
Oh, what are
and
we
he,
doing?
And
he's
he
a little
hated
bit of a psycho,
losing.
Isn't he?
He's a psycho. Mac Jones, a little bit of a psycho.
I'd like this, too.
I love it.
You guys see this tweet, Trey Wingo, little story. He says, reading up on quarterback Mac Jones, fascinating background. He says, as a scout team quarterback in one practice, he kept throwing touchdown bombs against the first team defense. Saban told him to cut it out. His response, tell your defense to stop it.
Yes.
Like, I like that.
Yeah,
did
I
you see,
too.
You see that story that, actually, I think we sent it out this morning about him coaching a sorority flag football team. Coach?
Yeah.
He got tossed. Like, he gets tossed, like, week in, week out, like, screaming at the umpire. One guy kind of, the referee, like, yelling at a ref, sorority, flag football. This one guy, Michael Casagrande, he says, funny story behind this one. He says, I shadowed him for two games writing this story. Right? He's a quarterback for Alabama. So they got a local guy that's like, let me just write a personal story. Yeah. What do you mean you're the coach of the sorority flag football team?
This is so nice he donates his time.
This is real cute. He says, yeah, Mac got ejected from the second one for being too spirited with the refs, watched from the parking lot, and flashed his high beams when his team would score a touchdown. Like, he's a little bit of a nut job. And to be honest with me, you see those stories, then you hear them afterwards, and you're like, I'm not buying it. Like, I think we all kind of want a guy to come in. I think that's where we felt Jared Stidham kind of fell apart last year in camp. I want him to come in and just say, yeah, I'm the starting quarterback.
I mean, then you got Jarrett.
It's my job. Mm-hmm. Like, private.
Yeah, I don't care if he says
it's my job.
Yeah,
no. Like, get out of here. And then one day of watching Cam Newton throw the football around, he's like, yeah, it's my job.
Yeah.
This guy can't even throw.
Right, right. I agree with you. And I think the what you were talking about, Fitzy, about the competitive juices and whatever, I think that's a significant trait. I've seen it with all the great ones. Larry Bird was like that, all right? The great ones are like that. They in everything they do, they have to win. So I'm agreeing with you. I think that is a really good trait. And he is going to have to, behind closed doors, tell himself, this Cam Newton sucks. I am much better than him, and I should be starting. He's got to have that type of approach.
Two Auburn guys.
Yes.
He's from Alabama.
Right. He's like, are you kidding me? He's like, we go there
he
and
did
we,
bring that up.
We poison your trees. Are you kidding me? Come on
now. That's right.
We
that's
beat
right
you guys all the time. They'll have a little iron bowl. They'll make it seem a little grab ass, all happy-go-lucky at camp. Like, yeah, it's a little iron bowl down here. Meanwhile, he's thinking like, I play at Alabama, MFers.
Yeah.
You know what? I went to the you guys wish you could have gone to my school. I went there. Yeah, Cam, I won a national championship. And by the way, I had one of the highest completion percentages in the history of college football. So enjoy that with your fancy hat. And by the way, I'm starting week one. That's what I want. I want that. Yeah.
That is competitive, though, when you do poison the other team.
I like that. Stop. Tell your defense to stop it. That's
tell you, isn't that great?
Yeah. Good throwback to Saban. Hey, cut it out. Will you make it? Tell your defense to stop me.
No, I've seen
like
all of
that.
This stuff, and I think that is an important trait. There's no doubt about it, and it's something Stidham certainly lacked last year. Here's Dakota in Braintree. Dakota.
You know, you guys are trying to justify
you
and give yourself every reason to find these little comments about why this is the right pick at 15. How about this?
Or the wrong pick.
Go ahead. What?
Just
what
go ahead.
Or the wrong
Dakota,
pick.
Dakota, don't worry about him. Go ahead. Give me a point.
So, how and I do want you to give me who I want to pick tonight, at least to save face. But anyways, why hasn't Bill Belichick come out? And I know he's never going to do it. But for one time, since everybody was saying they need a quarterback, why can't he go, listen, we targeted Mac Jones. He was there. He's going to compete from day one for the starting job because we feel he has the tools to start as a quarterback in the NFL today. But he has to go on the field and prove it.
Why should he do that?
What?
Why should he do that?
Why should he do it?
Yes. Well, to appease the fan base?
No, because I want some conviction. I don't think there was any conviction with this pick. I think he was sitting there and they said, you know what? We got to take him now because we kind of have him ranked. And that's the problem. That's why you have 50% of a Patriot Nation think differently and look for the bad things about him. And you know what? Don't forget, he was the fifth quarterback taken within 15 picks. If he was the God Almighty Alabama guy, okay, for one that has not been punched in the mouth yet because he was on a national championship team. So when you're looking for intangibles, how about coming back from being down or losing a game and seeing how you can respond to adversity that this guy hadn't had last year, okay? Those are the things that a non-playoff Patriot team, he's going to have to deal with. Is adversity. Maybe he has the tools.
Dakota,
maybe
I just figured it out. I just figured it
that?
Out.
What was that?
You're because just really upset that your Jimmy Garoppolo scenario didn't play out. And you're
oh,
taking
right.
it out on Mac Jones.
I still
well,
get.
Well, first of all, I would rather.
Still
see
get my 500 bucks?
I would rather see next year, this upcoming season,
yep.
they would have a better chance and go farther with Jimmy Garoppolo than Mac Jones. And that's all I care about, okay?
Okay.
That's
mm-hmm.
why I
and by
want
the way,
Jimmy G
I want
here.
Rondale Moore.
No. Elijah Moore, you mean?
He's going to go too soon.
From Ole Miss. No chance. You can trade up for him.
No chance.
Lou. What do you mean no chance? You think they can't trade up if they want Elijah Moore to run the slot because they need a slot guy? And this guy put up big numbers against LSU and Alabama within the last 2 years? This is the guy. Like, this guy should have went in the first round. I mean, look at his numbers against the NFL drafted defensive players that are going to be sitting back in that backfield for those teams in the SEC. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's second ranked to Jalen
Waddle. So basically,
Waddle,
though,
looking at those slot guys.
Back to Mac Jones.
He's a playmaker for sure.
You didn't think Bill took him with conviction. You're kind of
on that scenario
that Glenn threw out there that was like, if I get him, I get him. If I don't, I don't. Because I hate that attitude.
I think I'm not convinced that's it. I think that's a possibility. I'm not saying, again, Luke,
that
they didn't like him, but there was a good chance he wouldn't be there at 15. Maybe you're right. On the other hand, there were other teams that could have screwed up his plan. It was not ironclad. He didn't shut it down so he was going to get his guy.
You don't like it. You should be like Dakota then. Like, if that's really what we're thinking happened here, then you shouldn't be happy that he took a guy that he was...
He drafted his safety school.
If he's there, I'll take him. If he's gone, no big deal. Like, I don't want that for your first round draft choice.
You're mischaracterizing what I'm saying, and the fact that they didn't have to give up anything to get him other than that 15th pick,
and they were okay.
They were willing to lose him. I think. That tells me there were other players they had up on the board.
That tells me
they said if we lose him,
so you like that?
We'll grab somebody. Yeah, he's not Trevor Lawrence.
But you like them using a 15th pick with that theory that they don't love him? They just are like, he's there, so hey, what the hell?
No, like, I think they like him, and they think that he could be really good. On the other hand, there's no guarantee in any of this stuff. So they weren't going to give up other picks. You said yesterday, and you've been saying this now for weeks, he's got to move up in the draft to get one of these quarterbacks. He didn't do that, Lou. He waited until that quarterback dropped to him. What does that tell you?
Well, if I could listen to you, that he doesn't really like him, which is what you didn't want
to
do.
Well, don't listen to me. I'm asking you what you think that tells you.
I've already told you what I think. I've made it perfectly clear. Yes, I would have
felt
a lot better.
So you think he had a backroom deal?
Hold on, you asked me what I thought. I would have thought a lot better if he moved up two spots to make sure he secured the quarterback he wanted. I personally think he knew exactly what was going on in the draft and knew that he could sit there. I think he was prepared to move up and realized that he didn't have to. I think Bill knows enough of what's going on around the league to read the board. But I don't buy the whole...
I don't buy that.
Because your theory is exactly what you didn't want.
I don't buy that.
The fifth best quarterback in the draft at 15. That's a waste of a pick. I thought you've said that for some time.
Listen, I don't buy that. I have great respect for Belichick, but he can't know what's going to happen in 14, 13, 12, and 11.
Of course he can.
Bill doesn't know that. You don't know that. None of these guys do.
Oh, my God. He and Pioli knew 15, 20 years ago.
No, he gave you one story about Matt Light, who happened to be on the phone with the Jets at the time. That's not having a complete rundown of all the picks in front of you. Mm. There's a big difference between knowing the five picks in front of you and having Matt Light on the phone who's telling you, hey, I'm on the phone with the Jets over here.
Ah, Dakota was just disappointed because he wanted Zaven Collins, who, by the way,
he wanted Garoppolo.
No, but I'm saying as far as a pick, he also wanted Zaven Collins. I know for a fact he did because we talked about it online the other night, and that guy went immediately after Matt Jones too. 16,
very happy.
16. Yeah,
maybe that was the guy that Bill was looking at. Said, you know, we'll take him if we don't get the quarterback. I just think it tells you something that he did not move up. Now, I mentioned that a former NFL quarterback, loves this guy to the point where he thinks Mac Jones was the best pick in the draft. We'll get to that and more of your phone calls, more of your reaction to what the Patriots did, and then we'll look ahead. What are they going to do tonight and tomorrow? We'll get into all of that right here on OMF.
You know what makes us all feel better?
Back to more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
How many times do I have to tell you they pick up the trash on Tuesday?
It's OMF.
This is what you're dealing with.
On EEI.
Our coverage of the NFL draft presented by Zuti. Build any application your company needs in 1 week. You get your free trial today. Visit Zuti.com for details. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we're going to talk to Denny Thompson. You may remember we talked to him before. He's the quarterback trainer for Mac Jones. Had some interesting things to say the first time we talked to him. And now that he's a member of the New England Patriots, we'll kind of see if Denny can help us, give us some direction as to what we can expect from Mac Jones working within this Patriots system. So one guy who absolutely loves this pick for the New England Patriots is Dan Orlovsky.
Mac Jones to New England, it's the best pick of this draft. It's the best pick of this draft. Awesome offensive line. Obviously a ton of weapons that they've added. Two really good tight ends, pieces on the outside, dominant run game, and you get to go to Bill Belichick. That's the best pick of the draft so far. This is the best thing. Outside of San Francisco taking you, this is the best thing that could have happened to Mac Jones.
I like it.
Yeah,
that is a glowing review right there.
Yeah,
glowing,
but what's a review. Backup like him though, right?
And he keeps on saying it. He's been on more, and I've heard him go into more details about how Mac Jones is going to start week one, that he can just work through their offense, obviously talking about the old offense and not the offense we saw last year. He is raving about Mac Jones.
Yeah. So how about, okay, do you trust another quarterback, a fellow quarterback? Granted, wasn't a starter, wasn't an elite talent himself, UConn grad. Guy's watched a couple games.
Good. I think he's good.
I think he's pretty smart.
Although I think he just sort of like, ever since he said that stuff about Justin Fields, I feel like he's been like backpedaling, like, you know, and I'm early in my career, I got to save my job and say anything. You know what I mean? Because then he's turned it around and be like, I have backed up everything about Justin Fields. I've looked at film and he's not this, he's great, he's this. I mean, he's just gone overboard now with Justin Fields because he took so much slack from it.
Right.
But outside of that, I think he's outstanding. I think he's good. He likes the pick. I mean, I don't know if maybe he's a little bit overboard with it. But okay. I think it's a good pick. I think the guy's ready to play. If he's ready to play in San Fran and cover that team, then he's ready to play here right now.
That's the interesting one. You look at San Francisco right now, is they're going to have to pay Jimmy Garoppolo and keep him around. They have to keep him upright.
Have fun with
because that. Trey Lance is not going to be ready. That's a team that's ready to win right now, but Trey Lance is not, unlike Mac Jones, Trey Lance, we keep on hearing, is not ready to play at the NFL level now.
You think Shanahan thinks that?
I don't know.
There's a part of you think that Shanahan looks at him and says, yeah, he might not be ready to play right now if he went anywhere else.
Yeah, but he could be wrong, Luke.
But with me?
Well,
he could play week one with me.
That could be his ego playing into it.
Yep.
I think it's really risky for San Francisco in that we know that there's still great unknown with Lance. People like what they see, but they look at the competition, they look at the lack of playing time, and they sit there and say, I don't know. What is he going to be like when we bring him in and he's around other NFL players and he's going up against a much quicker defenses and league, and he's going to have to process all of this stuff. And the problem with them is they gave up so much to go up and get him. And if he fails, what happens then?
Well, if he fails, then, you know, as they said in Pacific Rim, reset the clock. So here's...
Well, it's even worse if the guy that they were talking about right from the get-go that they wanted, Mac Jones, turns out to be pretty good right out of the gate for New England.
Let me tell you, Glenn, I just took a minute here and I figured it out. I know exactly why Bill Belichick waited for, was happy with, and ultimately reunited himself with Mac Jones because, you ready for this one, Lou?
Yeah.
Once San Francisco decided to pass on Mac Jones, thereby blocking Bill Belichick from reuniting with Jimmy Garoppolo, like, we're going to take Trey Lance, we're probably also going to hold on to Jimmy G. Sorry, Bill Belichick says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to draft the guy you said you were going to draft, and then I'm going to beat your ass the next time I play you. That's exactly why he took him.
I like it.
An angry, spited Bill Belichick. Like, he likes him enough, but now he's going to be like, you know what, Kyle Shanahan? I'll take your guy that you said you wanted, but then ultimately didn't and prevented me from reuniting with my bae. I'll take your former guy, and I'll kick your ass next time I see you. And by the way, your dad was a better coach.
Yeah, I think they liked him better than that. I don't think it was revenge. We'll seek it out.
I think he loved him. Back to the whole thing, I think he knew what was going on. All those conversations about Bill moving up. You know, you have a conversation with Atlanta, and it's just like, nope, we're staying where we are. We got a guy. And I almost think maybe he talked to every single team in front of him to find out what were the teams that were thinking of moving. You know, and maybe knew that there were certain teams that had no intention of moving because they liked their guy. And by that, now you start looking and say, okay, there's two or three teams maybe that seemed a little iffy. You know, when you saw the Giants move and you saw, you know, a couple of other teams move and you're just like, the Vikings move. But I don't know. I just think he knew. I think he got the exact guy he wanted.
I don't think you can know every one of those teams. And you said it for the last 3 weeks. If you love the guy, you just move up and you take him. I don't give a rat's ass what you have to give up for him. Mm-hmm. He did not do that. I think he likes the guy a lot. I think he thinks the guy could be very good and probably thinks he's more NFL ready so we can use him quicker. And I think San Francisco had a lot to do with that when Jimmy Garoppolo went off the table at the third pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. But to think that he knew everything and he sat there and said, nope, I know better than anybody else. I'm just going to sit here at 15 and wait for it to fall on my lap. I find that to be far-fetched. Before we get back to the phone calls, what do you want them position-wise now? What do you want them to do the rest of the way?
I immediately, round two, there is way too much receiver talent. I'd go receiver first. There's
slot receiver. They bunch, need yes. an Edelman guy.
There's a bunch of guys all in the 5'8", 180 range, Jalen Waddle sized, if you will. Oof. So if you can't get like the front of the Mercedes dealership, sort of like high sticker price guy in Waddle, you know what? The gently used car section, the certified used car section has some prime choices. Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore, Dwayne Eskridge, even a great possession receiver like Amari Rodgers, my guy, Dyami Brown, who's the best deep threat in college football the last 2 years.
Diane Brown?
News reporter, photojournalist, Diane Brown.
Right.
Yes, Dyami Brown out of North Carolina. There's some studs.
Yeah, I agree with
receiver.
You. Wide receiver.
Studs.
I want to say the word cornerback.
Go ahead.
But it's the second round. You realize how bad he's been the second round with corner?
Oh. What are you talking about?
I got to go with my own philosophy. You can't dive away from it just because you've been bad. I just think position-wise, yeah, I think you got to pick up a wide receiver. I think you need a young kid to go with these guys because if N'Keal Harry is obviously not the guy, you need somebody to kind of build here with your new young quarterback.
Yep.
Offensive tackle, I mean, I don't know where that run goes. I mean, there's a couple of guys, but they always love that lineman.
Right.
And, yeah, corner. I mean, like wide receiver, corner, lineman. I think those are the three positions that you can count on them taking at some point, whether it's tonight or the weekend.
Yeah, you could have Eichenberg or that kid from Oklahoma State, Tevin Jenkins, who's got a nasty disposition apparently. But when you talk, thank God you brought that up.
How about Asante Samuel Jr.?
Oh, I see. Here's the thing, Lou. You brought up the second-round cornerback jinx.
Yeah.
It's really, really sad when you start to think about it. It's like the Cleveland Browns wall of shame with quarterbacks.
Where do you want me to start?
Duke Dawson.
Well, should I start with Jordan Richards?
All right, safety? You give me one, I'll reply. Go ahead.
Jordan Richards.
Okay. Cyrus Jones.
It's okay. How about Duke Dawson?
Rozai Dowlings.
Juwan Williams.
It wasn't that bad.
Jonathan Wilhite.
I mean, really? What do you want to say? Terrence Wheatley. How far can we go? I mean, Darius Butler.
15 of them over the past 10 years. They're so bad in the second round.
It's unbelievable.
Brian Moore.
Chad Jackson was the second round. Can we punt on the second round? I know, but just overall.
Why don't we trade out of the second round?
Yeah, get two-thirds.
I think what he does in the second round, though, is he takes a guy in which he does see great upside, but there are issues. There are problems there.
I'd rather just draft a guy that's a good player.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, the linebacker safety hybrid out of Notre Dame. If he's not off the board in the top three, I mean, if I'm Belichick and I'm looking at Gilmore and I'm thinking like,
I still think Gilmore's in play.
I do too.
Go to Bill in Phoenix. He wants to bring it up. But.
Bill's in Phoenix. Wants to talk about Steph Gilmore. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I mean, to get some draft capital tonight, is it time to move on from Gilmore? And what could we get from him?
I don't know, Annette. It, he's coming off of an injury, and the reason they're going to deal him away to another team is they know he might be disgruntled because he's only getting $7.5 million because they took this year's money and backed it up into last year. I'm not sure that gives you a great return. A team's going to be.
Did they get a second or a third or a second and a third or a fourth or. Somebody is going to want him.
I agree with you.
Well, somebody might want him, but what are they going to give up? He's coming off of an injury. And again, you're going to have to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to give him a long term, multi year contract. Right. To me, that changes everything. And maybe they look at it and say, we're better off with him coming back at $7.5 million. He might be a little pissed off, but is he not going to be motivated to have a hell of a season because he can go to free agency at the end of next year? So I wouldn't be surprised if they draft a cornerback, but the cornerback they're drafting might be more designated for down the road when Gilmore is not here. I would have thought they would have traded him by now.
Yeah, I just have a hard time believing, given what happened there and before camp started with him just taking 2 days off. But no, it wasn't contract negotiations, I swear. No, he's not holding out. Only to find out 3 days later that they gave him a bump for last, you know, they just took it from this year and gave it to him last year. I think it was financial. I don't think he's going to play at $7 million. And I know, he missed time earlier in the year and he missed those last 2 weeks, I believe. But I don't know. Was it because they're out of it? I don't know where he is health-wise.
Bad. The quad was bad.
Yeah, I don't know where he was health-wise. I just think he's going to have a hard time playing for $7 million. I think it's going to be an issue.
He's going to sit?
He's going to hold out.
Going to pull Le'Veon Bell, sit down?
I wouldn't put it past him from holding out. I felt like he kind of did it for a couple days until they threw him a bone last year. $7 million?
Well, then they're going to be in a bit of a pickle because J.C. Jackson, who's probably going to try his ass off because he's playing for a big contract. So you got two. That's right. Count them. Two, Glenn, starting cornerbacks who could be on their way out of town.
And that's why you have to get a cornerback. Right. Even if you're not looking at, even if you believe that you're going to be fine this year with Gilmore and J.C. Jackson, mm-hmm. it is a position you have to start thinking about for the future. Here's the problem. How many cornerbacks have already gone off the board? And how many more are going to go? So how deep are you going to be in the cornerback position?
Right? You got a couple. You got Asante Samuel Jr. You got Benjamin St. Juste, who's out of Minnesota. Big, tall guy. Now here's the problem. You're going to look at this guy and just go, but wait a second. We just spent a second rounder on him 2 years ago in the form of Jawan Williams. Looks like the same player. I don't know if Jawan Williams is like the Jarrett Stidham of the secondary. Like, has the talent, looks the part, should be able to play tight end eraser, little safety, cornerback hybrid. I don't know why he hasn't popped yet. Yeah. I don't know why he hasn't. Maybe he'll be more of a McCourty replacement, who, of course, started at corner and then matriculated his way over to the safety position.
See, that's the That's the other thing you've got to start thinking of, right. And that is the Devin McCourty replacement.
Yep.
Here's Brian next up here on EEI. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. So, I hate to tell you, but I think Christian Fourier called early in the week when he described Chicago as a potential third in the punch bowl.
They were.
Yep.
And I think that right when they drafted Justin Fields, I think then I knew that Bill was going to get his guy, and that was going to be Mac Jones, because I think he wanted him, and I think if Chicago jumped in and grabbed him, he would have been fine with Justin Fields. That would have been the consolation prize. He needs a quarterback, and he knew it. And then the second thing is that he announced it right away. I mean, as soon as their time to pick, boom, we knew right away who it was. There was no waiting, maybe waiting for the phone to ring or anything like that. So I think it's a great thing. I think it's going to be a healthy competition over the summer, and I think Jarrett Stidham will have an opportunity to compete with someone, one of his contemporaries, or, someone – instead of being around a couple of old men.
Well, we'll see. I know one thing, Brian. It'll be a very painful, I think, training camp.
I think it's going to be fascinating.
Early in the season. No, I'm just talking about Bill. Bill, Mac Jones looked really good today. He's still working, everybody else in the team. Well, how would you say Mac Jones is developing? Is he on par with what you thought he was when you drafted him?
Let's not put him in a Canton.
I don't know. He's just like everyone else working.
Next question.
And it's just going to be, who's your starting quarterback? Mac Jones is a really good camp. It's a whole thing. It's going to be painful, right? Like it was this year, really, the last few weeks of the season when they were kind of eliminated. And it was like, okay, you're eliminated.
How about that Miami game? Guys, let's throw on the highlights from that Miami game in December. That was a fun one.
Yeah. So it's going to be
slow bleeding out on the table.
People asking legit questions about the quarterback position. Now that you drafted a kid 15th overall, and it's going to be, I don't know, he's just working like everyone else. We're happy with everyone.
So you're right.
Jared's playing real well.
And so what you're going to get is everybody's going to be infatuated.
Salty Lou's back.
Right. Everybody's going to be infatuated with
Salty Lou.
The quarterback
competition.
Preparing
to interview Bill.
Right. The quarterback competition. The problem is.
Good, Bill.
Bill's going to be sitting there talking about wanting to talk about other positions, other things. He is not going to want to sit there.
I appreciate the question.
Right.
I really appreciate the question, Mike.
Yeah, we'll do what's best for the football team.
Okay, so what's best for the football team tonight, Glenn? What's best for the football team tonight?
What do you want?
I want a slot receiver. I think they need a slot receiver. To me, I'm not sure that Bourne is the guy for them, whether he can play that slot. They need a slot receiver. They need somebody that's going to move the chains, and even more so if we're talking about Mac Jones here, right? If we're talking about Mac Jones, who releases the ball so quickly, Why do you not want somebody like that? Move the chains.
You have no Julian Edelman anymore.
But I want to feel. I want someone who can also stretch the field. And all of these guys have elite speed. They are just as good. You want a slot receiver? Shy Smith can be had somewhere maybe in the third or the fourth round. I want somebody who can actually stretch the field. I want someone the fans get excited every time they see him going out because they know he might take it deep.
So you don't want Amari Rodgers.
He's the one possession receiver I want. He's okay. Dynamite. He can do everything.
He's like a four-year starter.
Yes, he was a stud at the Senior Bowl. He's dynamite. And Glenn, as far as the slot receiver goes, you've got three guys that are going to be on the team competing for slot receiver receptions now because, A, Jacoby Myers can just about do anything, and he's better in the slot than he is on the outside.
Yeah.
Then Kendrick Bourne, who apparently was Garoppolo's favorite target. I wonder if they brought him here as a little love letter, kind of like Tooney being signed for Brady last year. And then three, Gunnar Olszewski's career to date mirrors that of Julian Edelman eerily. It was year two when Edelman really started popping off. I love him. I think Gunnar is the real deal. Seventh rounder, played defensive back, started returning punts, made a difference, got a couple catches. Next thing you know, he'll probably start getting some more passes. And a guy like Mac Jones, you know, they drafted him in the first round last night, Lou? You know what he does?
I like him.
He throws people open. When the receiver's going to run to a spot, Cam tried to work on this last year.
Yeah, and it's true.
He mistook their hands for their feet.
And I know they just show, like, the clips, the good clips, right? Mm-hmm. Here's Mac Jones. They've been showing him all last night and all this morning and everything else because, of course, they never show the bad throws. But we always talk about him, you know, having these great wide receivers who are always wide open. And most of the throws I saw are just in stride. You know, when Mac Jones, you know, it's not like the guy's wide open coming back from the ball. They're so good. A lot of them are just like in stride, him throwing. Like I said, they're just showing the good ones, right? That's it. I get it. But I think I'm excited about it.
Dan, I've also seen some
I like Justin Fields, too, athleticism. But I think this kid, I like it.
Well, and I've seen some low lights of Mac Jones as well, where
he
scrambles and he tries to get out of the pocket. Yeah. And he doesn't have tremendous speed and he doesn't get out of the pocket. So, and we're talking about a league where the players are a lot bigger and a lot quicker than what he faced in college, even though he was playing at the highest level of college. I mean, those are all of the things. The game has changed. We keep on talking about how the game has changed, and you need a more mobile quarterback. Well, you didn't necessarily get that. And I'm not saying that he can't be good, Fitzy. He could be very good.
Yep.
There still could be a place in this league for a guy who's a pocket quarterback with tremendous accuracy and a quick release. On the other hand, why are all of these other teams going into a different direction? San Francisco had the opportunity to get this guy. They moved all the way up to number three. Everybody thought they were going to take him. They changed course. Kyle Shanahan basically said, I'm going to change up what we do because the game is changing here.
Mm-hmm.
And he took a guy that had a totally different skill set than Mac Jones. Bill is going against the flow here. And it may work very, very well. Matter of fact, we're going to find out a little bit more about Mac Jones from his quarterback trainer, Denny Thompson. We've talked to him before. He's going to join us coming up next. This hour has been brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Rams Jeep Celebration Event.